Last November, Floridians voted to restore voting rights to felons who had served their sentences. Now, just months later, new bills are working their way through the Florida legislature that could disenfranchise almost half of them all over again. Kira Lerner is a reporter at The Appeal covering criminal justice and voting. Kira, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
So we've been covering this story here on The Takeaway pretty regularly. Give us the rundown here of where we are and how we got here.
Sure. I think most people remember back November when Florida voters approved a constitutional amendment to restore voting rights to roughly 1.4 million people. It was a monumental day in Florida, the biggest single restoration of voting rights since women's suffrage. So there was a lot of celebration in Florida, and rightly so. The advocates that pushed for the passage of this amendment claimed that their amendment was self-actualizing, which means it does not require any act of the legislature or the governor to take effect. But when Governor Ron DeSantis took office, he disputed that. And the GOP-controlled legislature has, in the last few months, started debating and discussing whether they are going to pass some kind of clarifying legislation. In the House earlier this week, we saw a bill pass its first hurdle and moved out of committee, and that bill would require the payments of all fines, fees, and court costs before people with felony convictions are eligible to vote. And a lot of opponents call that a modern-day poll tax. They say that it is punishing the poor and essentially making it so that anyone that is too poor to pay off those fees is not eligible to vote.
Kira, let me ask you a question here, because this seems to be, we talked about, you mentioned clarifying the legislation. I think the legislation was pretty clear, right, when it was, when the voters in the Floridians voted on passing this. Is this a question of disenfranchising this group all over again?
That is what a lot of the voting advocates would say. The language of the amendment says that rights are restored upon completion of an individual sentence. The lawmakers that are pushing for these so-called clarifying bills say that that language is unclear. They are not sure what completion of a sentence means.
I want to just interject and say that does completion of a sentence not mean you've done your time and you've left and you're done?
That's how most people would define it, yes. They're trying to take a broader definition and say that completion of sentence also includes the payments of all fines and fees, which is problematic in a place like Florida that we know uses a system that a lot of people call cash register justice, and they levy small fines and fees on people who are too poor to pay after they leave the justice system. And these people are burdened with debt for oftentimes their entire lives because they struggle to find jobs, and most people do not pay off these fees that have been levied by the court systems. So essentially, while this amendment was intended to undo lifetime voting bans, requiring the payment of fines and fees would do just that all over again.
Now, how constitutional is this? You mentioned that this, a lot of folks are saying this is similar to a poll tax. It would seem to me that, and particularly in the state of Florida, I've done reporting there that, you know, there are some places in Florida that charge inmates for having been incarcerated. How constitutional is what they're proposing right now?
Well, there are a lot of groups that have already threatened legal action if this bill were to become law. And I think we are likely to see litigation if that's the case. It's still unclear how a court in Florida would rule on this. We know that the Supreme Court has been open to requiring the payment of certain fees before voting. We saw the North Dakota voter ID law was approved by the Supreme Court, even though North Dakota was requiring Native American voters to get some kind of government ID in order to vote, which levied fees on them. We know that Governor Ron DeSantis has tilted the state court, the state Supreme Court, towards conservative lawmakers. All three chambers of Florida's government are controlled by Republicans right now. So there are a lot of fears from voting advocates that
bill like this could be upheld as constitutional. Let's talk a little bit about who would mostly be affected. This we are sort of skirting around the issue of race, I think. But in the population that stands to lose the most here are largely low-income people of color. Is that not right?
That's correct. And we know that previously, Florida's permanent felon disenfranchisement law disproportionately affected people of color. We know that people of color are more likely to have fines and fees levied on them, and we know that they're less likely to be able to pay them off over the course of their lives. There's another bill working its way through the Senate that would broaden the definition of murder to include things like attempted murder and felony manslaughter. And we know that those convictions are also disproportionately people of color.
What is the likelihood, Kira, that this bill will be passed? I mean, it sounds like short of any major change here, it's most likely going to be, given the political situation on the ground in Florida.
Exactly. With all three chambers of Florida's government controlled by Republicans, voting advocates really fear that this stands a good chance of passing. But there is a lot of backlash, and this is getting a lot of attention right now. The advocates with the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, the biggest group that pushed for the passage of this amendment, are already raising the alarms. They're encouraging people to call their lawmakers. They were up in the Capitol earlier this week pushing their lawmakers not to pass any kind of bill that would undermine the intent of the voters. And I think we see a lot of people who call themselves returning citizens, people with felony convictions, pushing really hard against this legislation. I talked to one man, Fort Myers resident Lance Wissinger, who thought that he would qualify to vote under Amendment 4. He drove drunk when he was 24 years old and killed his friend who was in the passenger seat of his car. He was convicted of DUI manslaughter and did not think that he would be excluded from the restoration of voting rights. But the bill that's moving its way through the Senate would exclude people convicted of felony manslaughter like him. So I think there are a lot of people in his position that are going to push back and see if they can do anything about this.
Kira Lerner is with The Appeal, where she reports on criminal justice and voting. Kira, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.